the example of the life of a human being is such, just like the ocean, the sea, and within the ocean there is a boat, there is a ship. And the boat, when it sails, its situation is such that there is no guarantee that when will a tide come, or when will a wave come, or what storm will come, or what challenge will come, and where will that boat reach. There is the ocean, and there is the ship, or the boat. And the journey of the boat or the ship has to go through various challenges and trials. And this is the example of the life of the human being. In the morning, we don't know what is going to occur during the day. What will occur? What will be the conditions that will face us? What difficulties will come? Which problems will confront us? And which challenges and trials will confront us? And we can say problems and difficulties and issues and fluctuating conditions. And these are, you can say, intrinsically there in our lives, in our everyday lives. And insan, the human being, has no guarantee, cannot foretell what will happen the next moment. For a few seconds we think we are totally fine. Then a person realizes or hears or sees something different. So what I'm saying is that no moment can we guarantee that this will be like this or that will be like that. Yes, alhamdulillah, we know that life is going to, inshallah, continue on its course and conditions will change. Definitely the conditions, the challenges will confront us. Because life, this is the part of life. We have to realize this. Allah Ta'ala has written in the destiny something. Then if it's written in the taqdeer, in our destiny, then our iman as believers is that that will occur. That will occur. But within all of this, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us a methodology, has explained to us, has defined to us that the problems that are going to occur in our lives, the mu'amalat, the problems, then if we utilize the methodology, the right techniques, then it is possible that those issues will be eliminated, those problems will be eliminated. Or if a disaster is about to occur, a tragedy is about to occur, then Allah Ta'ala says it may not be that bad, it may not be that severe, maybe it will lessen in its impact. It was going to happen. Something was going to happen which would have caused a massive loss. And that event did take place, but not maybe that extreme that the loss would be in its extreme case. It would have lessened its impact. We see this in everyday lives. For example, something happens to us. We say, oh, something really bad's happened. But we don't know the reality that what was about to occur. And Allah Ta'ala saved us from that. So this small tragedy or small task or small trial has saved us from the bigger calamity. We say, oh, this happened or this was about to happen. So that is not the loss. That is not the loss that could have occurred. And he has saved the servant. So Allah Ta'ala has given us a methodology to come into this situation where we avoid the bigger calamities and problems. Allah Ta'ala says, if you follow this method, then it will lessen the impact of the issues. Just like I said, that tragedies and problems and trials have come and gone and have left us behind. And many things occur. And a person doesn't even think, he doesn't imagine that things would have occurred and they occur. But if we take hold of that method, then we get a protection that alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah, maybe that tragedy will totally be eliminated, an illness or tragedy. Or if it's happened, then it won't happen to that extent that would have given a massive impact and loss. So big advice here from Allah. Big guidance and big framework for us to follow. Allah Ta'ala says that the consequences of this are within the dhikr, within Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. So this is why we do. This is full protection for the believer and the human being. Allah Ta'ala says that when a person does his dhikr, when a person does dhikr and remembers Allah, then it either will A, totally remove the calamity or tragedy that was to come or will come, or B, if something is in your destiny and it is going to happen, then, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala says it will lessen the impact or the degree or the severity of that incident that is or was to occur. I remember in 1977, I think, approximately 1977, 1978, a big calamity or tragedy occurred. I had a nice new car and I was going to the Khanqah, Maghrib time, it was dark, it was the winter days, and rushing to the Khanqah, and I made a turn in the car, and there was an accident that occurred, and it wasn't just, a week had passed, and the car was left useless, and I was worried, how do I get to Salah, to Khanqah, and the brothers will be there, waiting for dhikr, and this was also a concern, on top of the accident, but alhamdulillah, there was no injury, and subhanallah, I said, it's me, who is in this car, I was the person who was driving, and then I presented the tragedy that occurred to my hazrat, to my sheikh, that this was what happened, I was going to Salah, and a tragedy occurred, and it was an accident, and I was a bit distressed for some days, and the car was left, you can say, without any use, and no benefit, and hazrat wrote back and said, Mia, the tragedy was to occur. Anyway, this was in your muqaddar, in your destiny. There are many cars that will come, but the thing that you were saved from, that is the biggest thing that you were saved from. And that is due to the barakah of zikr, due to the blessings of dhikr. So dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, has great barakah with the fadl of Allah. And this isn't just about talking or just chatting. These words, these meanings that I'm explaining are from the Quran and Hadith. There's a Hadith in Ahmad and Hakim, as a Nu'man bin Bashir radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates this Hadith. Alladhina yadhkuruna fi. These are words from within this Hadith, and this is the meaning of the Hadith. Alladhina yadhkuruna fi kalamat. That where the Sahabi explains, subhanallah, that dhikr, the kalimat of dhikr, the verses, the words of dhikr, like with the fadl of Allah, we will, inshallah, recite these great, strong, fascinating kalimat. So what happens? What is the result? Yatatafna. And Allah Ta'ala says that these kalimat that you recite, they are so valuable, so precious. They are treasure. They are Qur'an. They are the words Allah Ta'ala has revealed to the earth for our benefit. But the reality of Qur'an is so massive, so massive. We cannot understand. We know, but we cannot truly appreciate. So when the insan, when Allah Ta'ala makes us read these words and the verses, whoever Allah Ta'ala wills, in the words, in the hadith is stated that the kalamat, when a person recites the words of the Qur'an or Allah Ta'ala's kitab, those words ascend to the arsh. So such people like us sinners, look at our tongues, we're not worth it. But Allah's karam, Allah's mercy, Allah Ta'ala has sent us, and He's chosen us, and He's desired for us to recite. We are useless and impure people, but due to the barakah of iman, we recite, La ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah. So Allah Ta'ala has put these words into our destiny, these verses into our destiny, into our qismat. So these kalimat that we will recite, the reality that's been mentioned in the hadith is this, that these kalimat, they ascend to the arsh, and then Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that these kalimat, when they reach to the arsh, to the throne of Allah, then they don't wait there. What do? They go close up, and they start revolving, rotating around the arsh, the throne of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's seat. And they don't just wander around. Rather, a word emanates from these verses, very light words, and an announcement comes out. So this dhikr, the kalimat, you can say a light and a humming sound comes from the words that are rotating around the arsh. What is that light sound that emanates from the words? They are mentioning that insan, that human being who recited this dhikr. Subhanallah, what a beautiful hadith this is. What a beautiful hadith this is. So when we sit down to do dhikr, we should think these things. That at the time of dhikr, we should think that what is going to happen with our dhikr. This is reality, truth, haq that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us. This is not something minor, insignificant. For example, in the masjid we see that there's a carpet or there's dust or sand on the floor. But the reality of where we're about to sit is great. That we see this dunya, we think it's a minor. But when we are extracted from this world, then our mouths will open, our jaws will drop, the person will be amazed that this is the situation. Rather, some elders have written that a person, when he departs from this world, then some people, their mouths are open, their eyes are open. They stated what happened at that time when they were passing away, when they see the reality of this world, they become amazed. This is that dunya? He becomes shocked at the time of death, and he then departs from this world and dies, and his ruh is extracted. So this is not reality what we're seeing in the world, eating, drinking. The reality is the kalimat that we recite, the dhikr of Allah that we do. The reality of this is so great, that the real face of this is that it reaches the arsh, Allah's throne. They start wandering around the throne, and then those hazrat, those individuals who have recited these, who have read these, then they mention, good mention of that individual around the throne of Allah. So these kalamat, the dhikr, when a person recites the words, the verses, they ascend to the throne, they rotate around the throne, then they mention and announce that individual who's done that dhikr. So me, or you, or somebody else. For example, if somebody does dhikr, and somebody says, oh, you know, he's a good person. Let's say somebody in the world, you know, when they praise you, they talk about you. This is called raising, isn't it? Getting the good into somebody's good books. So when somebody gives a reference about you, a good reference, he says, oh, you know, he's a good person. He's a very good person. And so if you hear it once or twice, then you start paying attention to, I'm hearing this person about this person time and time again. So you start paying attention to that person. Who is this person that you're mentioning, you're referring to, who's good, who's worthy? So what will you get when, for example, you're given a good reference in the company of good people? What will happen? Maybe they will give you a favor. You want to buy a plot. They will assist you to buy a plot or a land or an asset. You want a license. They'll be, oh, I know you. Somebody mentioned you. They know you. And then somebody who's close to you, for example, if you go to him and you present your need, your requirement, your request, that my name is this, and I'm from there. Oh, yes, yes, I know about you. This person, a friend of mine, he mentioned you. Sit down. What can I do for you? How can I be of service to you? Ayya khidma. But, subhanAllah, so if, for example, you have no views, you're not referred, there was no reference, he's not going to speak to you nicely. But the person who's referred and is spoken about nicely, regularly, that's what happens. He gets the favor. So these verses, when we recite the dhikr, the adhkar, the verses of adhkar, they ascend, rotate around the throne, and they mention that person's name, then will Allah Ta'ala not pay attention about that person? Will Allah Ta'ala not know about that person? So he stated, this is such a great reward for the dhakir, that he's mentioned around the throne of Allah. So how can it be that the tragedies that are about to come in his life, the difficulties, the problems, the baliyat, the disasters, then will they not lessen in the impact? Will they not be reduced in the severity? Allah Ta'ala, if He wills, He will eliminate them totally. But if it will happen, then Allah Ta'ala won't want the pain to come. So who is referring us? Who is influencing us? Who is assisting us and helping us? The dhikr of Allah itself is referring us, assisting us. So how sad, how bad that we persevere and face the challenges and the difficulties of the world. For everything we are ready. We are ready. But Allah Ta'ala has given us the cure. Why don't we do that? If you're going on a journey, do the dhikr of Allah, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, this be for this reason, that this will protect me. This cannot be. This cannot be the words of the hadith that you will do dhikr. The dhikr, the words of the dhikr, they will reach to the arsh of Allah. They will go there and they are going to fulfill their task with the fadl of Allah. So maybe a big protection will come for you. And maybe we will be saved from a big loss. A big loss. So I was requesting that we should not be lazy. We should not be negligent in dhikr. If there's dhikr to be done, then break the nafs. Because nafs, the desires, this is what does not leave us. Oh, it's a useless thing, the nafs, the base desires. So when the nafs, it is opposing our desire or action to do dhikr, then remember these hadith and bring them to the forefront at that time. When the nafs is opposing you, challenging you, when you see that I can go there, can I get there? What is stopping me to get to dhikr? Ask yourself the question, what is it that's stopping me to get to dhikr? What difficulty is making me not go there? Oh, I'm tired. I'm not tired. I can go in the car. I'm not tired. Oh, I have to work in the morning. So what? I will work. I'm going to do dhikr of Allah. That's not going to stop me working in the morning. Oh, it's too far. Masjid Aisha. I can't park the car easily. No problem. Just go. Face the difficulty. It'll take 3 minutes. There's a doctor's surgery. If that's far, we go there, don't we? We reach there, don't we, if there's an appointment? If there's an appointment, yes, there's a doctor's surgery. And even I come from my home, there's a doctor's surgery behind here. And I know Masjid Aisha. So why is it difficult to get here? That when we get to the surgery, we travel there, we don't get nothing. But here, we get more rewards. So these are all deceptions and distractions. We should understand this is our avowed enemy, the nafs, that's stopping us. So do you promise you will break the nafs? That if it happens, that Allah Ta'ala says it doesn't happen, there are big difficulties coming and you can't reach there, and you're so, there's difficulty opposing you in front of you, then you'll get the reward. That Allah Ta'ala, if He's stopping you, then you get two rewards. One is that you'll rest at home, And whatever you wanted to do at the masjid or the dhikr gathering, you will get that on top of it, even if you can't get that by force. So we have to try, promise to ourselves that where there is a majlis, the gathering of dhikr in Masjid Aisha, then alhamdulillah, doesn't matter what's happening, Allah has given us the car, health, no excuses, we'll get there, we'll see what happens after. However much we can try, have courage, be brave, and just set forth. I'll tell you today was -1.1%, 1% of chance I was going to come to dhikr today. I am ill since 2 days, and today I was feeling very low, and I'd made the mind up that I can't, it's just too far, my body's trembling, shaking, how am I going to get there? So inside I was tussling, I'm telling you practically, I'll give you practical examples. All of the words I've said before now about the fight with the nafs, I'll give you practical examples, I don't speak from the kitabs. Because what are the challenges facing us practically, and if we understand them, then the point comes into the mind. So there's a fight within me. Earlier on today I was ill, nafs is saying you can't eat, you haven't eaten from the morning, and the Sharia allows this, you don't have to go, and I'm not going to go. And on the other side I said, I'm going to go. 300-400 brothers are going to do dhikr, how much reward will there be, bae? Then I gave the answer to my nafs. The nafs said, yes, there will be thawab, but Sharia says you don't have to go. How are you going to go? How are you going to travel? I said, and then the nafs said, if you get worse there and your illness goes worse, what are you going to do then? Then I thought, that's true. Then I thought, oh, then there'll be a problem if I get worse there. And I'm talking about the nafs now. The nafs is challenging me. So I said, what shall I do now? How do I oppose the nafs? How do I answer my nafs? So I made a decision that, you know, the notification that goes out, let that go. The notification, let that go out. And then I won't go. And people will pray salah and go home. And I pleased my nafs. And the nafs was cooled down, totally cool. Said, that's good. I said, okay, let the notice go out, let the notification go. I'm telling you practically now here. So this was 3 p.m. was the decision. So I said, okay, until 6 p.m. I'll see what happens. Then at 6 p.m. I said, send the notification, we'll see what happens. So I said to the nafs, notification's gone, I'm not going, am I? The message going, now, I can't go, I'm ill, I'm not well. How am I going to physically go there? I can't even eat or drink, so don't worry, I'll rest at home, sit down, relax. But salal, the nafs said, pray salat home as well today. That, so if you don't go there to the gathering, they say you came for salah and you're not staying for dhikr, you're going back, so don't go to pray salah. So nafs, how it attacks you. I said, yes, this is true. So I'll pray salah at home today, and I'll do jama'ah with somebody at home. This is Sharia allows this. And there I am preparing myself. I said, okay, I'll eat bread today. What difference does it make? I'll see how the health goes. So I had one slice of bread. Then I said, are you not ashamed? You had a slice of bread and you sat down and you're not ashamed. You don't want to go to dhikr. Nafs said, no, don't do this. And now the tussle, I did wudu, fighting with the nafs. Until the wudu, I wasn't sure. Why am I doing wudu? Just, it's about to come the salah time. You can do dhikr at home. Yes, I'll do dhikr at home. I said to the nafs, you'll get the same thawab, the same reward. I said, that's fine. I'm with you. So 300, 400 people want to do dhikr. And how am I doing this in my mind? How am I going to do? So I started wearing the clothes. The nafs said, he's gone. He's left us. He's leaving me. The nafs is saying, my prey is leaving me. And I'm sitting here so fresh, like I wasn't ill all day. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And me, you know, I am the thief. I'm like the thief. I'm so ill. Only when I'm very ill do I leave going out. I was so bad physically. Alhamdulillah, totally fresh. I'm sitting in front of you. And it doesn't look like I've not eaten or drank or I'm ill. I am more fresh and alert than you physically. So this is nafs, the tactics of the nafs. And on every step of life, the nafs will confront us. وَجَادُوا فِينَا. Allah Ta'ala has told us this in the Qur'an. That if you don't do mujahidah with your nafs, Allah says, I won't show you the path. So Allah Ta'ala made the means for me, the path for me, that I crushed my desires, I fought off my desires, and the hadith I put at my forefront of my mind, the thawab Allah Ta'ala has given, the how the tragedy eliminated and the rewards, and how we mentioned in Allah Ta'ala's arsh, and look where we've reached now. Subhanallah. So this story I've told you, of my story of today, so you also promise that pick up the stick, and keep on cooling down the nafs. No, I'm not going. Nafs, don't worry. I'm at home. Nafs is like shaitan. He will not stop in his attempts. So in the end, you say, okay. So you say, okay, fair enough. If we, Allah Ta'ala give us all muhabbat, love on those amal, those deeds. With those deeds that are our true assistance. This is our assistance. The recitation of Quran, coming to the masjid, praying on time, in jama'ah, congregation. These are not little things. Don't leave these actions for silly little excuses. Oh, I've sneezed. Oh, I'm ill. Oh, a little bit cold. Oh, I've got a flu. Oh, I'm yawning. I'm feeling sleepy. What difference does it make? I'll sleep at home. Oh, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, I said, doesn't matter. You can come to the dhikr, and even if you're sleeping, you're snoring, doesn't matter. I give it jaza, permission to people. You can snore as much as you want. You'll get the reward for dhikr. People snore, and they snore so much. in the gathering, the people in the neighborhood say, what's happening here nowadays? Is this some sort of hotel or a sleeping house? Subhanallah. So I said, fine, Allah Ta'ala has given ijazah, so sleep, snore, and do dhikr as well. But what is the thawab? What is the thawab? Allah Ta'ala has put so much impact that there is an answer for every excuse of the nafs. And the nafs says, no, no, you're showing off, don't do dhikr. Allah says, I'll give more reward to the person who's showing off, the dhakir. So every challenge and distraction of the nafs, there's an answer. Many, all of the other ibadat, there are restrictions, you're praying salah, there's pride, etc. But in dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says, all of the excuses and attacks of the nafs, there's an answer. Oh, my wuzu is going to break, doesn't matter. Without wudu, Allah says, I like you to do dhikr. I like you to do dhikr without wudu. Carry on doing dhikr, even if you ain't got wudu. Allah, this is too hard, I'm sitting on the praying mat and I don't go do wudu. Allah Ta'ala says, no problem, you can sit on the bed if you want to do dhikr. Say, subhanallah, 3 times sitting on your mattress and I'll give you the reward of dhikr all night long. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala loves his dhikr. Think and imagine, and how far we run from dhikr. So will we come? Are you going to leave dhikr? Masjid Aisha, solid inshallah. Solid attendance. Rise. Let's recite Durood Sharif.